You need to connect with somebody. It's so difficult for one woman to connect to another woman. The devil is so against connection when it comes to women. Hallelujah. And anything that the devil is so against has some potential that can be exploited, can be explored. Now, the reason for our gathering, we have already made it known the last time we gathered. So we will not be repeating the reason for our gathering. We have come to realize in the place of prayer for more than 10 years now that there is something significant that the Lord wants to do in this region. And when we pressed further, insight came to us that the things that God will be doing in this region can only come to pass if the battle formation is advanced by women. The Lord began to give us some understanding that some women of deep spiritual insight will have to pave the way for the movements of God. It is because of that, and only because of that, that we want women to gather. So that people can be trained to begin to function in that way. Just like an artillery. Just like a branch of the military that is responsible for the operation and storage of weapons. We must know how to contend and to recreate. And there are many skills that we intend to pass across and to practice subsequently. But we have said that training is going to last for 6 months. The training in this formation will last for 6 months as we seek to bring people into practical understanding of prophetic intercession, the implications and the results. Those days in the Old Testament, before you became a priest, you must understand how to sacrifice. Not just knowing the rudiment sacrifice and the laws that govern each kind of sacrifice, but you must also understand the implication of every sacrifice when it's offered. Hallelujah. For instance, if in a territory there happens to be a situation of no rain, and if a priest is brought forth and kept on the spotlight, the priest should understand the kinds of sacrifices that needs to be offered in order for God to be appeased in opening up the heavens. Amen. God needs to be appeased somehow. What do you do when you come to a place and you find out that 7 ladies, their wombs are locked up? What kind of prayers do you pray? Just pray in tongues? Hallelujah. What do you do when things are locked up? And the Lord said the reason why his move has started in the land is because the women that will open the shaft to prayer have not yet been recruited. We went to visit our brethren the other time on Sunday morning, went to Naka. Hallelujah. And when we went to Naka on Sunday morning, because of the previous time that we went there and a deaf boy began to hear from his left ear. So there was a woman that was so touched, and when they heard that we were coming this time, the woman went and brought 4 deaf people. These ones were not just deaf in one ear, they were deaf. They were totally deaf. And because they were deaf, they could not speak. And they were deaf from their mother's womb. Something is locked If you are brought upon the scene, what will you do about a situation of something being locked? There are spiritual skills that exist that can open things that are locked. Hallelujah. I said, all right, let's commence prayer. And let the pastors help me put their hand in their ears. Put your hand in their ears. And as we began to pray, I saw that one, the demon just covered the eardrum. So we prayed for that one, and that one began to hear. Then I saw that for the three of them, the remaining three, their ears were not dead. Their ears were hanging somewhere. We commanded the ears to come. One of the ears came down, and the guy started hearing. But the guy did not hear upon the first prayer that was offered. When things are blocked, there is a way to open them. Hallelujah. We have come here to learn some spiritual skills and to practice it. Over the space of 6 months, the first set of skills will be delivered. And it's expected thereafter that our meetings will no longer be talk. The meetings will be practical. You must understand how to contend for territory. Hallelujah. Your home is your territory. Your family is your territory. How to contend for it. How to notice. How to confirm encroachment. These are the things that must be upon the heart of the intercessor. Isaiah chapter 32, as we advance. My friend came all the way from Kaduna State to be with us in this season. God will be using him to drop a few tips. Amen? Oh, you are not with me. I say amen. You'll be using him to drop a few tips. These are practical tips that will add to our strategy as people that have realized that they need to partner with God for God to come into the territory, come into their families, come into their lives, come into the region. Isaiah chapter 32, I'll commence my reading from verse 9. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. First of all, we would like to analyze that statement so that we can discover or find out if that statement is descriptive of you. Women that are at ease and careless daughters. That a prophet is giving a call tonight, there's a need to arise. This message was particularly addressed to women that are at ease and to careless daughters. As far as the prophet is concerned, a woman that is at ease and a careless daughter is someone that does not understand the emphasis of the spirit per time. There are several people that died in several families that would have been delivered. Are you still with me? But there was nobody that arose. There are several things that took place that would have been averted. But there was nobody that could pipe into the spirit to understand the sense of urgency and emergency that was around the corner. Something that was casted from the spirit realm for a long time, and he kept traveling and traveling and traveling until the target was struck. He said that kind of a thing can only happen except we have women that are at ease and daughters that are careless. A pastor came to announce to me how that he had gotten admission to Benue State University. And I was congratulating him. And then the next week, he came and said the school rioted. And they were driven out. Then I told him that when we were there, there would be no riot. Because we took responsibility to ensure that the land was kept under the government of God. That he should go and look for 20,000 and keep. When he pays that money and his account goes down, he will arise. It's not enough for you to have admission. You can stay there for 8 years if there are strikes and riots. Hallelujah. Somebody will have to rise up to take responsibility for issues. But you see, in the issue of an intercessor, it might look as if it's nobody's business. So, except the first thing that God brings knowledge of to the intercessor is the knowledge of territory. Territory. Spiritual warfare is within territory. Your first allotment and your first territory that you must understand is this your body, this your body. Now, a spirit of infirmity can decide to come perch on it. And you may not know that your territory has been compromised, your regions have been transgressed. You may still decide to take the posture of one that is at ease. Meanwhile, in the spirit realm, something of you has been violated. Somebody that does not understand territory will not know the reason for contention. If you don't understand territory, if you don't understand tariff, you will not know the reason for contention. Hallelujah. I was here, finished preaching one night, and when I finished preaching that night, I was to proceed home. Only for me to discover that when I got home, half of my body was getting paralyzed. You know, the business of preaching is not pulpit work. There are many things going on in the airwaves. When I felt there was an everlasting pain that was coming out of nowhere, I couldn't touch the foundation of the pain from any level of pressure and any angle of pressure that I applied to my hand. Hallelujah. So I knew it was time to what? Arrive. But several people will see some levels of encroachment and still take their cool. Meanwhile, the issues here that were being heralded by the prophet were national issues, but he told and he directed the message of alert. He directed it to women. Meanwhile, he didn't say that the men were responsible for anything that had to do with the deliverance. There is a way God has configured the woman. In the configuration of our souls, the soul of a man, the aspect of the mind of that soul is in the lead. So everything is processed mentally. And that's a great weakness. Yes, there's balance in it, there's logic in it. There's stability in that perspective of life. Okay? Inventory, cost and effect, caution, and all of that, and all the attendant balances that the mind can provide, describe the psychology of a normal man. But in the soulish template of the woman, There's a different orientation. And it happens to be that it is her emotion that takes the lead position. That means she feels more than she thinks. If you have been attending our little studies over the years, I've explained to us the purpose of the mind before. The reason why God gave you a mind is so that you can think God's thoughts. The reason why you have a body is so that you can understand the body of Christ. The reason why you have an emotion is so that you can feel the feelings of God. And so, if you check the scripture where we just read in Isaiah chapter 32, there was an alert that was released. Feeling the feelings of God and feeling God's perspective and sensing God's perspective about an issue forms under a spiritual column that we call discernment. Somebody tell your cup, say discernment, discernment. It is very easy for a woman that has been configured to have feeling as the chiefest development in her soul to exist in such a form and in such a state that she lacks discernment. And if she lacks discernment, the result is going to be that we'll have women that are at ease, we'll have daughters that are careless. They don't know when their territory has been encroached upon, when their territorial integrity has been defiled. They don't know when to stand, when to sit, when to walk away and when to run. And so the prophet directs his call to the women. And he's saying, for this level of disaster to take place in the city, it means we have women at ease and careless daughters. I was expecting him to direct his vengeance at the army, the military. It was a military that was out of order. That disaster that was determined was going to find expression no matter what. But he directed it at women. And his message to the women was to arise. The issues that were in question in this particular scripture are issues that border upon territory. Territory. Hallelujah. You must understand your territory as a student. When you begin to notice that your grades begin to drop, it's not as if you don't understand the lectures. You understand the lectures. You understand it. You like it. But you see, in translating your love for the course to what matters, you begin to see that there's a hindrance somewhere. That means your territory is being encroached upon. There's an alert signal. And the message is, what? Arise. And this was directed at the women because it was expected generally that women should not lose the capacity to discern because their chief development in the solid configuration has to do with their emotion and feeling and sensing. And so it is easier for a woman to have active intuition than a man that always wants to be logical. And because of the differences in our makeup and creation, there are several things that God will demand out of our hand based upon the endowments that He has made available to us. And so there's an alert signal. Hallelujah. Please tell your neighbor, if you don't arise, nobody will. Do you realize that some of us today are born again because our mothers were intercessors? I don't know about you, but I would not have been here. My God, I had plans. Hallelujah. Jesus. But the foundation was laid that was stronger than my will. And most of these women were not even educated. And such. It was in old age that my mother went to school. It was in old age she was able to buy a HND. But her degree in the spirit was much. Prayed the whole gang into salvation. But some of us were younger. So they prayed and slapped the gang into salvation. Some were already matured when the way of prayer was taken, because the territory was encroached upon so much that the arise was written on every doorpost and lintel of the house. You know, you can come to a family and the arise. You don't, you are not with me. You see arise on the door and heaven, but their daughters at ease and careless women will not see the clarion call. When last did you rebel against the devil? Maybe you prayed for 2 years and you felt 2 years was long enough, and because you did not see the results that you were intending to see, you decided to chill out. Meanwhile, if you know the way the people that brought the situation in the first place, you know the extent of sacrifice they go into. You see, you don't understand. You know, when you become a witch, one of the first things that is that your mandate is to make sure that you dominate the people that are from your bloodline. It is written, there's a potential that the scriptures reveal to us. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Why? Bloodline. Is that scripture that is inverted when a witch comes and takes her oath and honors, goes back to the same territory with the passion to be in control of everybody. Are you following now? And they can go to any length once blood is there. They have some level of authority because of the compatibility of bloodline. And just in case you come from a place where there is polygamous, I saw you for many years now. The call to arise have been on the doorpost, lintels, on the mango tree in front of the house, on the everywhere. But you see, a daughter that is at ease will not see. Some of us, they shot us arrows when we're in the womb. And then you try to logically try explain things that are going on. I have come to understand better over the years that nothing just happened. And the easiest way to make something happen is in the spirit. And all of these potentials are taken advantage of more by the people that speak for darkness than the people that speak for light. Are you with me now? How can you explain the fact that two intercessors took my uncles and went to the village? They scanned the entire compound and found the door locked and said, "Oh yeah, break this door." And they broke it and found implements and articles, spiritual articles of worship and divination, sufficient to begin 6 independent shrines. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. And when they brought the articles out, one of them was a mobile article. A non-living object that was mobile. It had motion. The entire village gathered in my compound like Nigerian film. They started burning the implements, but this mobile one could move. Black in color, like a creature. But yet, like an idol, but it had motion to it. Somebody say, arise. But you see, I was not dead spiritually, because I began the battle 12 years ago. And when on Thursday, those people visited my compound in the village, God told me I was in a truck farm in Tota,
And God told me, I began to deliver your people. So,
all right?
The mobile, I don't know what to call that thing, but it was mobile. In order for you to be safe in the face of that mobile equipment, you had to maintain a radius, a safe radius, maximum safe radius. If not, the mobile equipment had the ability to leap. It didn't just have the ability to move, it could also do what? And so during the watch, one of the small boys around compromised the maximum allowable radius, compromised it, and went closer than was necessary. And what happened? The mobile object leaped up and was fixed here and began to suck his blood. Right on the in daylight, not in the night. And I'm not lying. As he began to suck the blood, they tried to remove the thing, but the mobile stuff now became magnetic. Then the prophets, the intercessors began to pray heavily and began to cast it out. Cast it! Cast it! It didn't go. Then a goat now came and compromised the radius, so they cast it upon the goat. And he moved from the child and did what? Latched on the goat. And because nobody prayed for the goat, he died in 15 minutes. Meanwhile, there have been strange deaths in the territory. Do you realize that that exposed your claim because somebody arose? You don't know. The Lord will help us. In the name of Jesus. And if you go to the hospital, they have a name for it. Radicalopathy.
Now that is a sign that someone... is a name. You know the lady, the small child that was recovered from the leaping object. The child did not just recover and began to run around. The child was sick after that. And that was what they have been using to suck people's blood. That is an automated sucking blood engine. Even if you are in France, in Tokyo, in Michigan, you might be... you are strolling in Michigan, United States, but there is a machine. Because you have that bloodline, they will call your name as they will call the name of the other people and put the sucking machine. If it were a revelation that somebody picked and our family members were told, they would have denied that there's no idolater. Tell your neighbor, arise. Hallelujah. Let's go on with the reading. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women. For the vintage shall fail and the gathering shall not come. Listen to me. Listen. There is an extent to which we refuse to arise
that the caterpillars will already gain dominion of years. Now, let me give you a small insight. Amen? Are you with me? Now, principalities have time measured out for them. Principalities. What did I say? They have what? Time measured out for them. A principality just cannot begin to operate. There are several ingredients. Several ingredients need to come into play before a principality can begin to function. And if a principality is going to function, the ingredients that ordained and gave it the opening to function also have measured out its time of operation. Alright? So even if anything is going to happen, it will not happen before that time that was measured out by the ingredients. Now, let me make myself clear. There's somebody sacrificing something. Sacrificing human blood. And the Bible said that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And because of that argument that the person has done, the person has been able to buy some time. It has given a particular spirit some time to operate. Alright? Even if you begin to pray, that time will not be shortened. The effect of your prayer will take effect from the time when this sacrifice. Yes, because when it was offered, there was no contention in the spirit realm, so it was accepted. Okay? If there were contention during that season, it would have affected its being accepted. But there was no contention. That one has been loaded to the phone. It's just like when there's no network, you want to load credit. What will happen? It doesn't become effective. If there were prayer in that season, prayer born out of discernment. If somebody had become restless in that season, that credit would not have loaded. But if it has loaded, until it expires, there will be phone calls. Until it's exhausted, there will be phone calls. Now, he's saying that these people have been at ease to a point, to an extent that some years have already been captured on the handset. Now, let me give you some understanding. Several issues were going on in my family. I started praying about it. For 4 years, nothing changed. For 5 years, nothing changed. 6 years, nothing changed. 7 years, nothing changed. 8 years, nothing changed. In fact, after the eighth year, things grew worse. Are you with me? Why? The principalities have gotten air time. See, some years have been measured out to them. So when I was about to be discouraged, God now came to me and gave me a vision. He gave me a vision, and the vision that I saw was a vision of a young child that was born. And he said, in the day that this child is born, I'll begin to deliver your people. I was wondering why God could not step down from heaven and begin to deliver my people the moment I start praying. I've come to understand by experience and by Bible study that principalities have time measured out to them. The people that strengthen the presence, memory, and worship of the principalities, they know what to do to extend their dominion. And until we arise, we have a deficit of years. Time that you are contending for, time that you are contending for, but you are contending against a principality that has the statutory right to function because some things have empowered it. Hallelujah. There is a kind of moon we call the blue moon. That moon only rises once every 19 years. When that moon arises, and I hope you know astrologers, in order for them to invoke the power of the great deep, and to enthrone Satan in territories, they need an accurate alignment of the sun, of the moon, and of the star. It takes 120 years for that alignment to be achieved. Oh. You are not with me. I know. It takes 120 years for that alignment to be achieved. If in the day of that alignment, if nobody arises for the Lord, for the next 120 years, no matter the light, it will be a spark, it will never be a fire. The last 120 years of the astrological cycle ended in 1999. In 1999, there was a hidden plan in the kingdom of darkness for Satan to begin to rule this world. It was in that time, all right, Abacha was warming up to be our president. And there were strategic placements of global leaders that were part of cults and things like that. The agenda was swift. In fact, they went to satanic intercessors. How many of them? 50,000 satanic intercessors flew over from India to Egypt because they believed that Satan dwells in Egypt, that the Nile is a dwelling place of Satan. And they went to offer 21 sacrifices so that they will fire 4 lasers on the fourth day of this, on the 21st day of the sacrifice for Satan to sit and rule the world. But Jesus began to appear in the dream of some intercessors. Began to appear in their dreams. Why? Because we do not understand the cycles of princes. Once a prince gains the advantage, he must fulfill his time. The reason why Daniel had to begin to pray when he saw that a false prophecy about their slavery was already fulfilled, that 70 years of being in slavery, whether you cry to with your stomach open on the street, it will be 70 years of captivity because the principalities have loaded that credit in the courtroom of divine justice. And if nobody arises, you will see darkness. And you wonder, is the devil so strong? No, the devil keeps time. It's not strong, he keeps time. And so there's a clarion call right now. He said, we have already, the devil has eaten into our time and our destiny. Years have been accumulated for oppression, for wickedness, and for darkness. And the cause of this peril is the women that are at ease. And the daughters that are careless. If we take an inventory in this hall now, how that we do not understand territory. We don't know when it's time to fight. You will see that we have lost so much ground to the enemy. And there are years that have been measured out for principalities and powers within the corridors of our allotment and within the scope of our own very territory. And there's this temptation. Say, well, it doesn't really matter. We'll commit it into the hands of God. We'll commit. We'll commit it. We'll commit it. Ah. Amen. Time has already been captured. Read with me. Are you still there? He said, many days and years shall ye be troubled. Is he a curse? No, it's not a curse. He said, because he did not arise, the enemy has accumulated time. And there's nothing you can do about it. 70 years, you will be in captivity. That one was written because the enemy has accumulated time. When Jeremiah was prophesying, oh yeah, do this. No, nobody moved. They were just there. It's all right now. 70 years shall your captivity be. Because it has already been fulfilled. The principality has gained time. Tremble ye women that are at ease. Be troubled ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare and give sackcloth. Upon your loins. He's suggesting a change of raiment. If we take an inventory now,
and the cost of every hairstyle here, the cost. If we monetize, no, I don't have a problem with the hairstyle. Keep the hairstyle. Do better ones if you can afford it. But if we monetize it, it will almost seem as if your focus is known. The emphasis. Meanwhile, in this entire scripture, the men were not mentioned. This is not a situation of war. Because if it were a situation of war, men would have been called. It's a spiritual situation, a spiritual condition that is setting in on a national scale. And women are considered responsible for it. I don't know about your own story. Because most of your brothers, including yourself, are pastors right now. It means one of your parents must have been an intercessor that understood spiritual timing enough to know when to arise and take her journey. Most of the time, it's the woman. Most of the time. My father was a great analyst of scripture. Great analyst. In fact, when the pastor finishes to preach, as he's driving us, he says, why didn't he use Romans 5? I don't believe that thing he said. And so in the church those days, because he attended Equa, they had a clique at the right left hand back of analysts of their type. They were the elitists of the society. They'll sit at the back. When the preacher is preaching, they say, they'll touch say, I saw those old men those days. But when it comes to contending, the best they will do is analyze scripture. But my mother did the contention in the night. But he will wake up and take possession and claim the victory. I say, we have amassed so much over the years. Why? He's not designed to discern. He doesn't know how a young lad translates to become an adult that stands in the fear of God. The best he can do are just the rules and regulations. Will do morning devotion in the morning. Who got saved by morning devotion? It's spiritual. It is that souls will be contended for in the realm. And when we don't arise on time, principalities get time. They get advantage. And we arise in the middle of the time that the principalities have already been given a throne to function. And then you are expecting that the prayer you pray for 6 months should just pray. You know how long the situation was created. When the balance of the spirit was delayed, so that there can be some weight coming from another quarters to contend with this sacrifice that had been put here, but there was no weight, and the beam balance went one way in the favor of darkness. And when the time was measured out, it was 12 years. When it was translated to space and time, it was what? 12 years. And then on the third year, you now say, no, this thing must stop. This thing must stop. You pray for that. See, it will still be 12 years. That's why you need a prophet to tell you arise, because he knows when a particular circle has been concluded. And when negotiations are still open, the spirit realm, waiting for input from different quarters. But you see, it happens to be that the government of the earth has been given unto man, whoever he decides to give will rule. As I finish my reading, come with me. There's a lament for the tears, for the pleasant fields. This is an agricultural situation. Yeah. Are you still with me here? All right. He said they shall lament for what? For the pleasant fields. You know, Maybe I may not qualify to say what I need to say because I'm not so much of an old parent yet. I'm just a greenhorn in parenting. All right? So at least I have the support of Sister Eunice. So I borrow her stature in the area of experience. A lament for the pleasant fields. Are you with me now? If you happen to have some daughters in your house, you have some children in your house, and they begin to reach a particular age, there are some expectations. It's just like when you go to the farm to plant some crops. You plant maize. How many months should the maize be on the farm? About 4 months, it should be ready for what? For harvest. When your own maize becomes 16 months and the harvest doesn't seem to be in sight, then there's a lamentation that is based upon what? The pleasant fields. And all these are indicators of the fact that there's a need to arise somewhere. All those things are indicators of the fact that what? And all of these, in all of these scriptures, the males and the men, the mighty men, the great men, the cunning artificer, the skillful orator, they were not mentioned. It was directed at who? At women. He said, even if it costs you, rend your garment and let your garment become sackcloth. Let there be a consistent burden that is upon your heart. And your life goes in the direction of the demand of that burden. Let your first garment be the sackcloth of burdens. Not the purple shirt that I'm seeing now. Your purple shirt. What's your designer? No. Calm down. You people know all the names. Don't deceive me. What that designer you like? What's the name? Say it. You know all the names. Nena. What is your designer? Don't deny me in the public. Okay, touch the other sister. That shirt you are wearing, who designed it? Oh my God. He said before you put on that shirt, there's a cloth to wear. And that's not a visible cloth. It's a spiritual cloth. That women that are raised by the Lord, in the natural, they bear the burden of children in their womb. They should be able to bear the burden of God on their heart. That the reason why you have a womb is because you have a heart that has a capacity to carry things. And before you put on your designer, and I'm not against it, please, if you find one, it looks better than the one sewn in Aba, in the name of Jesus. Because Aba people can sew, and the hand, one hand will be longer. Mantas eleko maliam. That's their trade. Before you put on the designer, open the doors to the burdens of God. The problem with our time, our day, our generation is that women no longer know how to bear the burdens of God. I tell you the truth, I'm a product of my mother's prayer. Sometimes you realize that when mighty heroes are to be born, angels appear to the mothers, not to the fathers. When Samson was born, and when mighty people are about to transit from eternity to time, the gateway must be consulted. Because the things, the creatures walking upon the face of the earth came through a door. And that's why if a woman causes a child, forget it. Even a pastor that is anointed can only recommend that there needs to be restitution. Because the Bible speaks of the blessings of the breast. If the person took breast, then the person is going down.
There's so much potential. There's something you can touch now and say, because of this, you will die. And it will follow like an arrow. You don't know. Before the devil came to bring sin, he consulted with a woman. Before God came to bring his son, he consulted with a woman. That should give you an idea that if women refuse, some things will not enter. And just in case you were not alert enough to notice when it was time to arise and there were entrances into the territory, it is your responsibility by reason of discernment, and you have studied the signs. You couldn't read it in the spirit, but when you begin to see some manifestations in the natural, it should be enough reason for you to arise. And there's a way to arise to contention. When you notice a stream of the financial stream is cut off, it's a demonic situation, because God, it's not his intention for you to be buried in squalor. And you must know that there are some financial conditions that are demonic, satanic. Drought, I've experienced it many times. But you see, you need to understand how to read the signs. When your territory has been compromised, and how to bounce back with grace and power, with understanding and insight, knowing the skills to apply, the principles to raise, the kind of fight to fight, knowing when to fight, knowing what to say, and how long you need to say it for a change to come. When the society begins to decay, women are at ease and daughters are careless. When people are opening more beer parlors here and there, women at ease. Do you know the kind of power that is generated when a woman decides to fast? I know you don't know that. It's more energy. That womb you carry, has made you a certain kind of creature. A groaning creature. And your potential must be realized. Say lament because of the pleasant fields. Upon the land of my people shall come thorns and briars. Your harvest will be affected. It's not a war situation, it's an agricultural situation. And the women are responsible for what is happening. The increase of the field. Tongues will rise. Because when the pleasant fruits are no more, and it's not enough to make a woman arise, then tongues, you know, tongues and briars, those ones they have chuku chuku. And I pray that you will not linger until the tongues arise. Hallelujah. I pray you not linger. That's how I linger. I was so busy. Preaching. I did not know that the warfare was becoming intense. I was just receiving messages and I was downloading, receiving messages. I go to Zaria, I download. I receive messages, go to Port Harcourt, I download. Only for me to wake up one day and there were tongues. The paralysis had entered inside. The pain was, half of my body was going. That type that will choke you. And I knew that I was blessing the whole world, but my defenses were out of place. And God was so gracious. That was when I was posted to Lagos. So I was taken away from active ministry. And I was shocked down to Lagos. The pharmacy said, do you have hypertension? I said, no. You have ulcer? I said, no. They will give you this. When I took the first two tablets, so as it was drawing life from my leg. Hey! But somehow, with all the inconvenience, it took the pain away. I said, okay. When the pain left, I stopped taking the drug. I said, I know where I missed it. Not the drug has tried. And I went back to the place. And when I saw through the vista, the level of encroachment was deadly. Hallelujah. And from Lagos, I peeped and looked at my home. I saw a witch there. They had come to slaughter my inheritance. I had to wake my wife in the night. Is that person still there? He said, you didn't say we should drive her away. All right, I'm telling you now. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I was not ready for fighting. I had not arisen until the thorns came and the bite was much. That's why I'm saying, let it not be that you be the thorns that will revive you. Let it not be a situation that is difficult to change that will revive you. But just in case you are there, the grace, there's grace today. There's grace. Because before that thing became a tongue, it must be dry. A tongue has a weakness. It can go up in flames anytime. As long as, yes, it can go up in flames. And so, we are going to create some fire here today. And finally, it says, upon the land of my people shall come thorns and briars. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken. The multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and the towers shall be for dens forever, deserted. A joy of wild ass is a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, nothing will change until the Holy Ghost comes from where? Then he said, the wilderness that have been created will be changed instantly into a forest. Until the Spirit is poured upon us. I was expecting him to say, until the Spirit is poured upon the field. Because the field is where the problem is coming from. There's an agricultural situation here. But he said, no. How we pour the Spirit upon you? And when you begin to intercede, the things will begin to change. And for a long time in this part of this nation, the Lord has been calling women to the place of prayer. Many times, many years now, many of them had not yet received the pressure of the clarion call to arise. And so daughters in Zion have been at ease. And women have been careless. We must first of all begin this pursuit by understanding territory. I'd like you to take an inventory around. Check your immediate family. Look around it for encroachment. Check your life. Understand territory. If you don't understand territory, you don't know when to take your journey. Realize that before Abraham or Moses could touch people in the land of Egypt, he began to touch the territory. He came there to deliver people. But what was he doing? Stretching his hand in the sky, touching the water. What was the connection between the people and the territory? If you don't conquer the territory, you cannot touch the people. You must understand territory, your allotment, the portion that God has given you to secure. And when you begin to notice some form of encroachment, you must understand that it's time for war. And time for war, when it's time for war, there's a way to respond, there's a way to arrive. I just brought you a call from heaven. But it will take us 6 months to do the training. The training will begin from tonight as my friend comes up. Next month we'll continue. We'll learn what we call prophetic praying. How to pray based on revelation. Many of you receive dreams in the night. You wake up and we are not good stewards of the revelations that God brings to us. Many a times you see evil coming before it finds expression. But we don't take advantage of the revelations that God makes available. And the things that God was trying to partner with us to avoid still takes a toll on us.
prophetic praying. How to address princes, spirits. That was the prophetic lesson that was given to Jeremiah. And the lesson is in categories and levels. And before you can carry each one out, there's some elaborate preparations that must take place. I need to warn you. By the time we start next month on prophetic praying, the things we are going to be seeing are dangerous. They can kill human beings. All right? You don't know that if they had their way, you would not even be here today. It can kill you. It's a way to generate energy. And there's a way to sustain it and a particular pattern in the family which shifts and changes. There are some times like that because of spiritual activity. There is a statement, just like that statement that was made in the Bible, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. It's like an embargo. Don't go beyond this point. Something like that is released in the spirit realm. And then, if somebody that works for darkness wants to proceed beyond the embargo, the result is that such a person pays with his life. There's a realm, there's a level that battles can be brought there. But if you are going to take battles to that level, there are several things that must change in your life. And that's what we want to train you about. There are several levels of being at ease and carelessness that you write. You will go home and write in your diary. This kind of carelessness can no longer be part of my life because I want to take intercession to this level. And if you are not ready for that, then be ready to lament at the pleasant fields. Be ready to lament because of the thorns and the briars. Be ready to lament because the palaces shall become dens for asses. Desolation will set in before your very eyes. That's the option. You know the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. He's tremendous in his working. It means he makes so much power, so much energy available. But you see, it's not enough to generate energy. We must learn how to channel it. That was what God taught Jeremiah. That's the first intercessory lecture I will give you next month. There are some kind of prayers when you start praying them, you will not sleep again for a few months. From 12 to 3. There's a kind of fasting you do. You don't talk until it's 4 o'clock in the evening. If you know that going to the market will make you talk, you refrain going out and you keep your mouth shut. There was one of our brother like that. People were just dying in his family and he took a fast for long. Half a year fast. And God told him, go to the village, don't talk. See, when you are doing that one, there will be temptation. In fact, somebody will say, your money not complete. I don't know. Some of us grew up in the village. When my family, our ancestors were healers, there's a spirit that used to reveal roots and back of trees that have healing power. When they are going to the forest and they finish doing the charm, they prepare the people that go to the forest for new discoveries. They prepare them for 3 days. After the preparation and they have washed them with one kind of soap that makes them see spirits and talk to spirits, see plants and plants talk to them and they communicate, they take a leaf and put in their mouth. Why? So that as you are going, don't talk. And then the flute man will be blowing so that in case
you need to hear something to keep you focused. There's sound for you. Sound. And then when they are coming back from the forest after 14 days, they are coming with roots, with back of trees, with all this kind of thing. And if the sickness in town that time is HIV, they will have a cure for it. You talk too much. That's why your spirit cannot retain power for long. Even if you decide for 4 days, you will not speak. 4 days, you will be powerful. Just say, I won't talk. For 4 days. Hey. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Let's stop there. I will warn you. Sit down. Don't start. No, don't do usher work again. Sit down. I'm talking about serious issues. Not for usher now. No usher work. There's a kind of fasting you do and you don't talk till 4 p.m. That's when the sun begins to go down. Alright? As long as the sun is up, don't talk. You talk when the moon is up. You don't talk when the sun is up. I can show you why. But not now. Now, the reason why we'll be doing all those studies is because I expect that people will practice what we teach. Not that you just go and say, hey, that pastor, hey, hey. No. In fact, say, hey, that pastor. No. You won't talk when the sun is up. But if you can't do it, then shut down. Take casual leave. And make sure you are not talking. If you talk, you are speaking in tongues. And you don't pray your understanding for that one. Yes. The guy went from here. Went all the way to one place in Bandekia. When he got there, that was when God said, talk. Ma! He cursed the shrine, cursed the altar, cursed the priest, cursed everybody, cursed, and then kept quiet again. You think it was something casual when God told the children of Israel, don't talk until you go round 7. The day they opened their mouth, a wall that was as long as it was wide, it gave way. When that guy said that thing, hey, his uncle that is the custodian of the shrine came home. He asked, who came here? Who came? He shook his wife. Hey! He ran. Hey! But it was too late. Bap, 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 bap. Bap, 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 bap. Hey! He knew that there was only one antidote. And it was far. It was a leaf. He would have to get that antidote to purify the shrine. The spirits were frozen. They couldn't move again. So as he was going to get the antidote, we don't know where a gunshot came from. Bah! That's why he scattered his stomach. Then after that, people did not die again. He went there mute. I see one of the lady's problem. And your spirit, the content of your spirit is depleted. There's no power left. I'm waiting for June. Alright? Because in June, a strange thing is going to happen. Wise people, wise intercessors will take their journey from June. Yes. We can change many things from June. If you rise up in June, say, don't talk. March round for 7 days. And on the 7th day, shout. Remember the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I
you have a womb, you can groan. And in this scripture, women were addressed. Tonight, I pray you'll be challenged. But we start the school today. The tips that you need to know as an intercessor. It's the Lord's will that female intercessors will be littered across this land. In the forefront of the warfare, so that territory that has been overtaken by the enemy can be regained again. He said, instead of pouring the Spirit upon the field, he will pour the Spirit upon you. Spirit of supplication and intercession. And then the field begin to respond. There is an empowerment that God is releasing in this season to ensure that His purpose comes to pass. Hallelujah. Can you bow your head in a moment? I don't know how much the enemy has encroached. But if you decide today that you will not rest, you will not give sleep to your eyes, that you will arise, many things will change. I need a personal commitment from your heart to the Lord. The days are evil. God seeks a people in whom to pour out His strength. The time has come, and now is that time where we will understand the way of groaning, fast track the burdens of the Lord. Doesn't matter how much encroachment you are experiencing in your universe right now. I feel the hand of God so resolute tonight to bring grace upon our lives until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. It is the rain of the Spirit that will quicken us to cry. God is committed to doing that. Ask the Lord tonight, from tonight, to open your eyes to the things that have escaped you in your place and on this journey that God has called you to partake of. The things that have eluded you, the things that by the virtue of the things you have heard and have learned have not allowed you to enter into the place where God has called you. Ask the Lord to begin a work. Ask the Lord to alert you. There are things that have been accumulated, that have come in as droppings, and They have become the basis upon which your feminine nature had received expression over years. And some of them are not fruitful to you. Ask the Lord for the opening of your understanding. Ask the Lord for divine revelation. The presence of God is so strong. Thank you, Father, for honoring us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Because you will take us further, your intention will be made clear. We pray that on this journey upon which you have set upon our feet, we will not be sidetracked in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. My whole body is shaking. So, a few moments ago, His presence came upon me like a dew and settled. I am not very composed like this when it comes this way, but I will try. Thank you for the privilege, sir. When I came and I was greeting Mama, I said something to her. I said, "How are you coping with my brother?" I appreciated her for all the support she's giving him. Why did I do that? I understand what it is when a man stands in a place of responsibility as he does. It can be very frustrating and very, very burdensome for a woman that is not receiving help from God to occupy such a responsibility in the life of a man. I have had opportunities to speak with ladies in conventions and meetings. And when you ask how many will want to marry a man of God, you see them lift their hands. When you begin to do some elementary introduction of the responsibilities that befalls a woman when she finds herself in the bosom of a man who carries God's mantle, then some of them will say to you, "If that is how it is, I am not interested." Occupying the office of a mama, a woman who had not experienced what mothers, great mothers, elderly mothers have experienced. There are women in the congregation that will say, "If not because of this man of God, you know, I have given back to your kind." And that kind of woman will still have to come and submit and call her daughter's age, "Mommy." You don't know what is upon that woman. You don't know what is upon that woman. You know, naturally, in the natural state, when women begin to call a young woman their mother, you know they are trying to put that woman in trouble. It's easier when they call the woman "my daughter." It's easier when they say "my wife." You know they are trying to bribe you and take you somewhere. But when an elderly woman begins to call a younger woman "my mother," you know it's not ordinary. Women, especially in our dispensation, since the days of Beijing Conference. I don't know who gave that ministry to Babangida's wife. But since that dispensation, there is a wind that has blown over the church with the advancement and the complications that have come with Pentecostalism, where women are now fighting. To occupy positions, but they have lost focus of their primary responsibilities. The apostle of God had brought word. I am a product of my mother's intercession. My father got to a point and he said, this boy, I have forgotten about him. The same person you see standing today. I have never seen my father in any of my meetings except once. Except once. My father cannot call me man of God. He has been in this thing before you were born. My mother calls me man of God. I am a product of our intercession. And because of the deep things that she carried, it made her even enter churches she should not go. Because this man, this young boy, must come out of these waters. The hunger that was within her took her to Olumba because of this young man. You don't know who you are. The intercessory ministry of my mother covers my ministry up till today. And I pray always, this woman will not go. She can't go. Because practically right now, I don't have someone who will take her place. I have people around me praying, but no one yet will take her place. That is why the intercessory ministry of the woman becomes something that we cannot play over. Hallelujah. Go into the scriptures and begin to scout and study the relevance of women in carrying out God's agenda. Where men failed, women stepped in. When generals escaped from the battlefield from the hands of men, it was women that concluded the battle. Hallelujah. I pray and I pray and I pray from my heart that it will be as God has decreed it. In the name of Jesus. Let me share some few things with us, and I will trust God that God's will and counsel for this moment will be done. In the name of Jesus. If you go with me to, Lord help me. The thing is running through my system. I wish this thing happened at NACA. What I'm experiencing now. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the preparation. Thank you for coming. The last book of Proverbs. You will read what a mother who had taken time to raise her son, her counsel to that young king. If you are there, just help me read. Proverbs 31. Verse 1. But that his mother, who taught him? Let me tell you the truth.
You hardly see fathers who have time to teach their children the oracles. Up till today, the devotion is observed in my father's house, even though all of us are no longer there, because my mother cannot miss that time. Once it's 5:30 in the morning, everybody wake up. You must wake up. While we were children, once it's 5:30, you must wake up. The oracle, the counsel that Lamuel's mother taught him. My father-in-law will say, he became what he became spiritually. And his children, he knew his children knew God because of the fervency of his wife. That was his confession. But left to him, he was a very social guy. Very social man up till now. But the issue of spiritual things doesn't bother him at that time. But his wife, no. Are you with me? Are you with me? Lamuel's kingship, the mother took it as her responsibility. The apostle said something, when you look at the ministry of intercession very closely, it looks as if it is nobody's business. As if when you set yourself upon it, you are doing what people call opofo. It's none of your business. The woman came to him. Remember, it's fathers that are supposed to teach kings. It's fathers that are supposed to lead the hand of their sons to battle. It's fathers that are supposed to make sure that the things that have been inherited by their sons are maintained. But in this case, a woman taught her son the oracle, the counsel of God. The Bible told us about Mary that everything that was spoken about Jesus, she encapsulated it and hid it in her heart. The Bible didn't say such things about Joseph. Everything that was spoken about Jesus, she gathered it and kept it. So as Jesus was growing, this is what was spoken concerning you. The oracle of God. At a point in his life, she will tell him, these are the things that have been spoken concerning your life. Women should know who their children are before they come forth. My wife took time to pray for our children. I wake up in the night and pray a lot. But she carries them. So she stays wherever she is, or on the bed, and lays hand on her tummy. And she spends hours praying. 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 None of my children came without my knowing. None of them came without me understanding their assignment on earth. You have a lot to do. Praise God. Please continue. Son of Listen. This woman is complicated. She understood the destiny of Lamuel. and understood that this man, the destiny of this man, is the womb that will give birth to the sustenance of the nation. That man is a product of vows. Samuel did not fail. The Bible says his word did not fall to the ground. God was, Lord, give me what? Heaven, anything he spoke, heaven must make sure that thing came to pass, because he was a product of vow. So Lamuel became a king, but he was a product of fulfillment of vows. Please be careful the vows you make before those children come. Be careful what you say to God when you are preparing to get married. Say, Lord, I give you my womb. Let the servants of God come through this womb. I dedicate my temple to you. Remember, Apostle was talking about conquering your territory. The first territory is your body. There were vows you made before the altar of God when you were a damsel calling upon the Lord. Oh, let that man show forth. And you made vows before the Lord. Make sure that you are conscious of such vows. So she said, Lamuel is a product of her vows. Are we there together? Please finish your reading. Yes. Thank you. Just verse 1. Thank you. Sit. Thank you. This is a job that a man should do. When it comes to establishing kings upon their thrones, it is the job of fathers. The question you will ask is, where is his father? The mother took responsibility of determining that, to make sure that the things which God had spoken come to pass. Hallelujah. Lamuel was a product of deep intercession. Things have happened in the places, in the dark, in the places where that woman raised altars to God and made vows on behalf of her son. You need to teach your children, those of you who have children, and those of you who are yet to have children, the vows you made before God. As those children begin to grow, let them know that these vows have been made. But some vows were made out of emotions, so they were not documented and they were not put to heart. Let me run on another dimension quickly. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus was presented at the temple according to the customs. But something happened. Something strategic came forth. And I would love you to see that. Hallelujah. Please help me read from verse 36, just 36 to 37. I will be interrupting you as you read along.
And there was a prophetess, Anna. Okay? Yeah. She was advanced in years, which means she was an old woman. She got married as a virgin and lived with that man for how many years? So what happened to the man? The man died. Until she was 84. Now let's subtract that. She got married and stayed with her husband for 7 years. And after that, the man died. And she remained a widow until she was 84. We were not given the account as it relates to when she got married. Were we? But let's assume, because in their time, they married very young. In their time, if you are 22 and you are not married, your father will look for somebody to dash. From before you even know who you were, somebody already owns you. So you just meet the age, they come to fulfill the custom, and the very night they pay dowry, there was no church wedding, you go and do your reception in your husband's house. Hallelujah. If we give the benefit of doubt that she got married at 20, she lived with her husband, that is my own approximation. Her husband died presumably when she was 27. Please understand that we are assuming. Okay? I'm a scientist, so I'm allowed to assume so that I can find my path. Okay? So, my assumption, I didn't say she was 20 years old when she got married. So, let's assume she was 27 years old when her husband died. So, 84 minus 27, how many years are those? Huh? 50, 57, 59? Alright. Whatever your calculator gives you, if the battery is still alive, it will give you the correct figure. If the battery is weak, it may give you 100. Okay? 57 years. Alright. Let's see what she did with her life for 57 years. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, when she came, Jesus was offered, Simon was still holding Jesus, and she came into the temple. She was giving thanks because during the period of her waiting and fellowshipping with God for 57 years, there was a time when the calendar of redemption was open to her. Because nobody called her into the court where the dedication was taking place. Simon, thank you, sit down, was not invited. As they came in, he was led by the Spirit and he went into the courts. And when he saw Jesus, he began to give thanks. The same thing happened to the prophetess. She spent 57 years of her life doing what? Standing in the presence of God. Praying for who? Her children. Fasting. That God will give her another husband. She had a grace for something else. She was a woman with a hunger. She was a woman that had a dimension. Probably. Please, remember I'm talking on this as a scientist. Probably. The Lord had to take the man away so that the woman could fulfill her purpose. When she came giving thanks, what did she speak to people about? She spoke to people about Jesus. Then she talked to people about the redemption Israel. Which means she had been one of those who had been watching the gates to make sure that the prophecy comes to pass. From the things that were revealed to us in Scripture, you know that the birth of Jesus brought about so many crises that it took the hand of God to sustain Jesus and keep him alive. I want to believe that they were custodians of that prophecy. Anna was one of them who prayed for the redemption of Israel. Who prayed that when the time comes, it must be fulfilled. So when she came, she began to give people insight about Jesus. She had never met him before. She had never met Mary before. She doesn't know who Mr. Joseph was. But when she came and she saw the Son, the Lord had already spoken to her. She began to tell the people. Simon didn't tell the people about the Son. But he made proclamations. He made statements. But Anna began to tell the people that were there, who did not even concern themselves with the dedication service that was going on. She began to call their attention and say, "Men and brethren, behold the redemption of Israel." There was no way she could have recognized him if she had not been where the things were revealed. She was a keeper of the gates. She was a custodian of the coming to pass of a prophecy that God gave. She spent 57 years of her life that was the sacrifice. The Bible says she never left the temple. Was it that her family people didn't have occasions that will make her travel? Was it that there were no wedding ceremonies that will make her travel to her people? Was it that there was no death that she heard about that moved her heart so much that will warrant leaving the temple to go home for some holiday? The Bible said she never left the temple. I stand on that word. She remained within the courts of the temple for 57 years, making sure that the things that God has spoken will come to pass. The kind of heart, the kind of discernment, and the kind of ability to be able to enter into the deep secrets of God that God has given to women, it can be very difficult for men to understand. That is a divine radar receptor that God naturally gave women. That a woman can discern when things are happening and the man is still eating his pounded yam. And when you talk to him, he will say, "You have come with this, your talk again. Sit down." Married women, have you heard that from us? Say you have started again, all this your thing. But the woman is speaking something. I know most men don't know how to say sorry. Even when at the end of the day, the thing she had already picked 3 months ago come to pass, you say, "Okay, I heard. I know you said it." But he will not humble himself to say, I'm sorry. That is why the book of Proverbs says, a woman of a noble character, she's a precious jewel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's a lot of navigating going on. I hope that English is correct. Let me share one more scripture with you and leave the rest to my Oga. Remember that what we are doing, we have not entered the teaching. What we are doing is what we call sensitization. What we are doing right now is what? Sensitization. We are only sensitizing you. We have not started the course. This is just sensitization. We are just trying to awaken you to your responsibility. The training will soon begin. Hallelujah. In Matthew 27, verse 55, we see a ministry that was performed by women in the life of our set man and our pattern. Any man who despises women in his ministry will not for long fall into a very big ditch. I remember some years back when I appeared in the youth camp, I think some of these sisters in my platoon just somehow noticed that this man has some destiny. And when I found myself in Ikari Akoko, I wanted to throw my legs and say, I have come to a neutral ground. Let me receive some ventilation and make some friends. And then there were these two sisters in the platoon. One Deeper Life sister and one, I don't know. They kept eyes on me as if I promised to marry them. When they begin to see any lady coming close to me, they say, Bro, who told you I was a brother? I don't know. They were like the angels that kept me on camp. So everything I was doing, I will be looking around. I hope. Because in the morning, once we take our place on the parade ground, they will substitute. I saw you yesterday. I saw you. I said, what is I saw you. I will be on the football field playing. I will behold these damsels. What is this? And until I left camp, their eyes were on me. I don't understand a lot of things about women. And it's very difficult for men to understand women. The truth is that you are very complicated for us. You know you have been over-refined. And everybody uses the most refined things. When Apostle was talking about when Satan wanted to carry out his agenda, he went to the woman. When God wanted to carry out his agenda, he went to the woman. And what came into my spirit is, who will not go for the most refined? Hallelujah. If you are there, please read for me. Matthew 27, verse 55. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. The Bible says there were how many women? Were there two? Three? Four? Do you call ten many? I don't see ten as many. I will still call them few. If you have Bible map, as my Bible does, and you look at Galilee, and you look at the length of path which they followed until his crucifixion, you will know that those women were ready for sacrifice. They left their families, left their businesses, and joined themselves to his train. The Bible was very specific. They were not just following that Jesus may bless them. They were not just following because they wanted to be partakers of his ministry. The Bible made it very clear that they followed to do what? To meet needs. They followed the ministry of Jesus to meet needs. I thought Jesus was complete in himself, and he wouldn't need such support. The first day I came across this scripture, I asked myself many questions. Many questions. The Bible said many women, many, there were many. They followed him all the way from where? Please go home and look for a New Testament map of that era and follow the route that they followed. Remember that time, if you are very rich, you have a donkey. I'm sure if I dash you donkey now, you will not take. You are very wealthy, you have donkeys. That was what Saul went to look for, isn't it? An ass. Donkey. I'm sure if they see my sister, as beautiful as she is, in Makodi on a donkey now, it will become news. But that time, it was the big guys who sat on donkey with their scepter, and the donkey is running with them. You have to be in the army or be of the royal lineage or have something to do with royalty to have access to horse, to a horse. Are you with me? And if you are privileged, you may have a cart that is drawn by maybe some bulls, and that thing doesn't have shock absorber. By the time you travel 10 kilometers, you will need to keep yourself inside a hot bath for massage. I don't know how they survived. So the general means of transportation was to use your legs. Legged bends, as we call it. So they traveled all the way from Galilee and followed Jesus meeting his needs. Those needs were not mentioned. And I don't want to mention any. The needs were not mentioned. But they followed Jesus that length just to meet needs. In his life, in his ministry, they followed to make sure that the work that Jesus was doing did not suffer any kind of lack. Whether it was financial, whatever kind of lack that will protrude its head in the course of Jesus' ministry. Those women were there to confront it. I hope I'm not speaking of my own. It's scripture. Let's read it again.
Yes, ma'am.
There were also many women. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Do we have another version? Which version did you read? Revised Standard. Somebody help me with King James. Yes. Yes. They followed him from where? Galilee, yes. And helped him. Thank you. Thank you. They followed him to do what? To help him. So they were scouting for needs. Anything that will make the calling of this man of God prosper and be fulfilled upon the land which he had been called. It was their solemn vow that it must not suffer. He doesn't need to know about the needs. They took up the needs. When challenges arise, he didn't have to stop himself. Probably he will only hear that we had so and so challenges. But they have been taken care of. They did everything in their power to make sure that the man of God remained focused. To make sure that Jesus remained focused on his assignment. Any kind of distractor that showed itself, they were there. They followed him to help. They didn't follow him to help him scatter. They didn't follow to make things more difficult. They followed to do what? They followed to do what? They followed to do what? So when they find within their camp things that will not allow the ministry to be fulfilled, they arrested it. When they find two brothers fighting upon the portion of stew that was shared last night, the women took care of it. No wonder the Bible says that the older women, it is their responsibility to teach the younger women. If you stay with my mother, you must learn to pray. Almost all the time, her Bible is by her side. She's always praying. You go to her bedroom, she covers herself as if she were sleeping. Until you are very careful, then you begin to hear her voice. She gives you the impression she's asleep. The white man says she slept in nothing. You can be sitting in the sitting room like this. She will just carry herself and go into the room. Until you open the door. Then you see this woman at work. Listen to me. The ministry of Jesus will have suffered a lot of hitches if these women did not present themselves. They left their businesses. They left their families. They left everything that they had. And followed with one singular agenda: to help. God is gathering this army to help. Hallelujah. God is gathering this army to do what? To bring help. And we are trusting God that that help will come. As the Lord begins to move amidst us, that help will come. Please, can you read it from your version? What version is that? Good News? Read that same scripture. Many women had come with Jesus from Galilee to be of help to him. Thank you. They followed him from Galilee to be of help. One agenda. I know why I am repeating this. It's not vain repetition. Please give me another version that we have not read that you have. Any other version? Yes.
And many women
who had come from Galilee
to care for him.
Thank you. It was their duty to do what? Anything that concerns that man. Probably they have the understanding that once the shepherd is hit, the sheep will scatter. So they made up their mind. Listen, their ministry completely, as described by that scripture, centered around who? Is it his disciples? The other disciples? It's centered around Jesus. They gave him total covering. Except the things that were done by divine hands that they could not help. Everything that surrounded Jesus, those women stood their ground. Mama, you want to read for us? Thank you, ma'am. Yes. Yes. They followed him from Galilee, doing what? Ministering. They were ministering to him. Why are we picking all these words? It's for us to be able to understand what these women were up to. So they were in ministry because they were ministering. Hallelujah. And their ministry, the object of their ministry was the shepherd. The object of their ministry was Jesus. If anything had happened to Jesus, it will affect every other thing. So they committed themselves to that. God will bring this help. God will bring this help. The marching order had been set forth. We trust God for accuracy. We trust God for the outpouring of His Spirit to bring about this help. We trust God that the female factors that come, that disintegrate an assembly of the army, God will arrest it. The amen is very shallow. Let me ask you a question. I've asked some ladies somewhere, and some of them did like this. If the Lord appears to you in the vision of night, and you said, you have become my treasured possession. I'm not expecting you to go into covenant with any man. You shall be mine. You understand what I mean? And the Lord tells you, I'm not expecting you to get married, but you shall be mine. Yes. Those thoughts is here. But you said, Lord, I give you my all. That's why there are songs I don't sing. When, thank God for Bonnie, all the songs I have been singing here, they were worship. No commitment. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my, what again? I live for you alone. Is it true? Unto Jesus I surrender. Unto him I freely give. What of the one you are holding back? Some of these things we do, people of God, become conscious of the covenants and the vows that you are establishing. They are not songs. They are songs that are sweet and they come with some kind of feeling. So you throw yourself into them and you sing what you don't mean. And the day he comes, say, we have an agreement. In 1984, when you were in that camp meeting after my servant made his declaration, you said, take me. I have come to take what you have given me. After 10 years, you have gone to your medical school. You have graduated. And they just finished the party. In the night when you knelt down and you are saying, God, thank you, I'm now a medical doctor. Then he said, I have come to take what you have given me. When that man that just came in from Germany behold you as a damsel, as he navigated through your village Christmas period, and the man said, if not this one, I die. And then they came to your father's house and your father saw somebody from Germany who just came with a jeep that looked like his house, as tall as his house, and said, yes, my daughter has made a good choice. As you enter the house, then he comes that night. Oh God, thank you. He has finally appeared. And the Lord said, give me what you have given to me. You have been a custodian since the time you gave it to me. I didn't take it. But tonight, you aren't going to know Germany. Then you begin to fight. You start fighting. And because the life had been his own sins, he will put hand on it. Have you seen someone like Joshua? I used to do that game with my daughter. She's about 5 years old, almost six now. She wants to beat me. I hold her head and I take my distance. She throws her leg. I don't know who taught her how to do Chinese. So she will do her hands like this. Do her hand. Throw the leg. And I'll just be laughing. Then she gets to a point. I say, Daddy now, Daddy now, Daddy now, Daddy now. How can I be standing and allow you to kick me? And you are saying, Daddy now. Some of us live the rest of our lives struggling without being able to navigate through our path. Because when you gave him what you are not actually giving him, that sacrifice had already been taken long ago. So now that you are trying to withdraw your sacrifice, it had already been burnt. It had already been burnt. Never remain the same. Oh, that night the word of God came to you so powerfully. As the apostle of God navigated the scripture, the Lord came to you that night. And you knelt down there and prayed and prayed and prayed and said, oh God, with so much tears. From today I am yours. I give you all. And then he waits for you after you have set your sail. Then he comes to take the pardon from your hand. The help will come. Some of us need to go back to God and readjust a lot of things. Please go and tell him. When I did it, I was taken by emotion. If he has mercy, well, maybe he will return it to you. But if there is no mercy, if he's so demanding, you better follow him. You better follow him. And this path is a path of sacrifice. And there are platforms from which you do not have authority to strike. until you have been able to gather that stature. And then you have the status. You know, there are two different things. Have you seen a man with stature? When he dresses, he looks like a big man. When you go to him and say, please sit down, there's nothing in the pocket. You have to be able to gather the stature and also occupy the status. To gather the stature and occupy the status, there are a lot of sacrifice that you have to give. Every day you die. Every day he takes away from you the things that makes you more vulnerable and more dependent on him. Let me count some of the sacrifices I have to make. One, I have to leave the study of medicine to become a president of a fellowship. You will not understand that. I was supposed to go and study medicine, but he said, you are not going to that school. You are going to go to that school and become a president of a fellowship. I've shared my testimony here where my conversion actually took place in Maiduguri. How many of you remember that? That was like 2 years ago. I was a very good athlete. I run 400 meters. Very good. All the competitions I have gone to, I have always won my heat. But I will always miss time to enter the finals. I have never gone into a competition and I ran and I came second. One day I was on the pitch trying. I'm just trying to give you what we call landmarks. You must be able to know. you know your landmarks. I'll be out of here in a few minutes. Because for you to be able to stand a general, for him to wear those those ranks, you must have touched something. You must have come from somewhere. I was tying my spikes on the pitch, trying to stretch that morning. And I heard that voice very clearly. I was the only one on the pitch. He said, Sam, you will not prosper in this way. For this is not the path I have chosen for you. As far as I was concerned on that campus, I was the best they had. I was a very good footballer. He came and he said, give me. I said, I will not give you. You took this one, you took this, you took this. I had the dream of wearing that green color. I must show. So God put his hand into my heart. I don't know where the football was hiding. He just removed it. Right now, as you see me, if you are watching football, It doesn't even attract me. That was something that my father almost killed me for. You will not settle on your academics. It's football. When it is evening, my father will say, go and stay in the bedroom. I have found a way of navigating through the burglary proof. I will throw my kid's bag to the neighbor's house. And while he thought I was on the bed sleeping, he will come his way, trace his way to the football field and tell the coach, bring that boy out. But when it came, he put his hand into my heart and he removed it. Let it be Nigeria and whatever playing. Even if I sit there, it doesn't make anything to me. It doesn't entertain me. He's going to take a lot from you. And as he's taken from you, he will increase your platform. He will. Because the things that you are about to strike, you must gather the stature. And you must have the status. Hallelujah. when the sons of Scapas went out, they came with a stature, but did not have the status. So the demons, that day, the demons they encountered were wiser than the ones they have been dealing with. And those ones understood grammar more than those ones. Because when they came, they said, we command you to get out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Which means we don't have relationship with him. So they asked, he said, Jesus, we know him. Paul, we know him. You guys don't have identity anywhere. Who are you? And the Bible says the madman landed on seven brothers. I don't know how that man, madman did it, but demons can do anything. Tore the cloth upon them. Imagine at 12 noon, you see seven brothers running on this express road naked. Hey! Hey! Then the madman is behind them with a club. Yes, they were naked and wounded. And the madman was still pursuing seven of them running to their father's house. I'm sure after that encounter, if they ask you to marry one of them, you say, this one is not a man. Let's bow our heads. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit.
The mother of the king, Lamuel, made a statement that the king was a son of his vow. It is as though ladies and women of our time are vowless. He was watching over her vow for it to be performed. Several things she had declared to God about that child. Maybe she was barren and didn't have any children and went to God and said, God, if you give me this child, I'll do this and that. And when the child became the king of the land and wanted to dabble into things that were not consistent with the vow that God, that she had made with God, she had to caution him. And in the cautioning, she revealed something that was kept secret all this while. That are you not aware that you are a product of a vow? When last did you take a vow? When last did you have a secret with God? When last did you say, God, if you do this, I'll do this? When last did you commit yourself to God as to vow? It's time for us to pray that God will take us to the depths of his dealings. You need to have a secret with God that is responsible for the events that are taking place in the natural. You need to have some utterances that you are looking out to watch over. She had a vow, a secret, a commitment that she could not run away from, even though it was made in the secrecy of her privacy. She watched over it, and from the tone of her utterance, in the book of Proverbs chapter 30, it was as if she vowed that this child of mine will not be taken away by the vanity that is the spoilage of kings. And so when she saw that her son was trying to go the way of women, to waste his strength on women, she had to reveal to him some secrets that were behind his rising. She called him the child of my vow. Today we speak in tongues and prophesy, but we are vowless. No commitment, nothing to watch over, nothing to bridle us and to keep us, make us watchers. Want to pray today and say, God, may my life not be vileless. Let there be a secret between me and you that will limit me, that will cause me to be a certain kind of person. A vow. It's like a time bomb in the spirit realm. It's like a time bomb that will blast in a moment of time. Hannah vowed. She said, if you give me a child, I know that you are king. You can decide to do what you want to do. You can decide not to honor me. You can decide not to use my womb. I can understand that. But if by any means you give me a child, if by any means you make my womb fruitful, if by any means you decide to pass through my body, the fruit of my body will become your servant, and I will dedicate him to you. A vow. A vow that moved the hand of God. A vow that she did not disclose to her husband. A vow that was hanging upon the life of Samuel. Even though he did not understand, while he was sleeping close to the ark, while he was there before the lamp that was burning in the midst of the temple, he was a product of a vow that a woman made, a covenant that was caught in the place's secret. A woman had uttered something. A vow had been made. And heaven had occasion and platform and foundation to step into the terrain of men and for the government of God to find expression. You want to say, you see, there are so many ladies that have good hairdo, that have good hairstyle. Their lipstick blends with the color of their shirt, but they are without a vow. No deep thing, no deep covenant, no depth. They are all on the surface. Nothing is hidden. No hidden power, no hidden secret, no hidden covenant. Oh God. Mambos ele evriske man tobala. I will not be without a vow. It was clear she was watching over something. When she looked upon the young man, the tokens of the vow spoke to her heart, brought out her responsibility that she has uttered. When the man became 12 years old, the intensity of her utterances started becoming obvious. She forgot it, the vow for 2 years. But when he grew his first beard, the vow quickened her. The vow troubled her. The vow took sleep away from her eyes. She called him the child of my vow. Isaiah says, for Zion's sake, I will not rest. For Zion's sake, I will not sleep. Everybody can sleep because they don't have a vow. But because I have a vow, I cannot sleep for the sake of Zion. People that are vowless can sleep in the market. People that are vowless can sleep on the field of political campaigns. But for Zion's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth like brightness. Until her salvation goes forth like a flame that burneth. I will not rest because I have a vow. My soul is bound with a vow. My life is not empty. I have some depths behind my corners. Hidden covenant that I cut with God. You can sleep, but I cannot sleep because of Zion. Do you have a vow? Many times we wonder why our prayers are not answered. There's no depth with God. You have not yet bound yourself by anything. You are still a freelance. Your soul is still open to lawlessness. And because of that, your utterances do not have weight in the spirit realm. When you say things, the tokens are stolen. Because there is no depth, no weight, no power. But Lamuel's mother was a woman of a vow. Hannah was a woman of a vow. For Zion's sake, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Is there anything that can take sleep away from you? If you tie yourself to an agenda in God, God will make sure you are protected. He will make sure longevity is guaranteed. He will make sure your prosperity is guaranteed. If we do not seek first the kingdom of God, if we do not conform our lives to be ordered by the regulations of His right standing, we find out that the elements of creation do not respond to us because there is no depth in us. I'd like you to rise as you pray if you can stand. If you cannot stand, take your seat. But I want you, it's time for us to take an oath before Him. The average believer is oathless, vowless, covenantless. There is no reason for God to be compelled because there is no depth in our lives. I will not hold my peace. I will not rest. Consider the encroachment of the enemy around your environment. He comes to take tariff. He comes to take territory. Your warfare has not had enough momentum because you have been vowless. No covenant. No covenant. You have not yet decided to put yourself into peril to see that the counsel of God comes to pass. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. It's time to cut covenant with God. It's time to take a vow. It's time to go deeper. It's time to go further. It's time to bind yourself with a fast, to bind yourself with an oath. For Zion's sake, my life will not end like this. I will not stop on the wayside. It's not all about finding a husband wearing a wedding gown, match catwalking to the pulpit. Those things are good, but they're just on the surface. Wonderful, but it's natural. Women went beyond the natural. Many of them bow their vow. What would have kept a woman for 37 years? She was still 27 when her husband died. Her figure 8 was still in place. Her configuration had not been tampered with. She could make up for the contours. She could make up for the slack. She could get her tummy back into size. She could get her waist slim again. Some dieting could help. Some dieting could help with her shape. And a man will come and ask her out. But for 57 years, she never left the temple. Day and night,
She had a vow. She bound her soul with a vow. Her prayers were mingled with fasting. She did not only pray in the daytime, she also cried out in the night. Oh, it's time for us to step a little further. The clarion call calls for women of depth, women of covenant, women of vows. Skebobos elente. Ma elente. Skaboske vasasamahai. Women with a vow. You cannot do everything that the average woman is doing because you have a vow. Many might say you are outdated, you are not fashionable, you are not in touch with the modern things. The reason is because there's a vow. I want to have power with God. I sacrifice because I want to be strong with God. I sacrifice because I want to have strength with God. I sacrifice because I want to have strength in the spirit. I am a woman of vow. I know at 27, I can still find my way around. But I decide to sacrifice because I have a vow. I know that at 27, I can still start afresh. I can still get a jam form. I can still try my ways around, but I decide to fast in the temple day and night because I have a vow. I know that at 27, I can still become a model. I can walk on my waist. I can walk on the contours. I can still come back in shape, but I won't do that because I have a vow. What have you vowed? Is there a hidden secret? Is there a covenant? Is there something that has bound your soul that is leading you to become extraordinary? Is there something that will make you use your womb for something else? You use your womb to groan for God. Your womb to groan for the kingdom. You decided, I'll not use my womb to groan for babies anymore. I have a vow. I have a vow. I have a vow. Es obele etelia. Izamantekos capella. Over the years, there is so much decline in the spirituality in women. Among sisters, because there has been no vow. Oh, Sakabaya. In Campentos ete kabalataban sanda. Letos ele asketa bela ade. Balatebra ketominaskadia. When last did you rebel against the devil? When last did you say, His will not come to pass? When last will you say, this delay in my life will be cut off? When last did you say that my child will not be a nonentity? When last? We await the willers. We await the willing women. Women that will give God no rest day and night. Anna, prophetess Anna, was a wailer. A wailer. Such as will give God no rest, neither day nor night. The Bible says, come bless the Lord. Oh, ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. They stand by night. Those are the wailers. Those are the wailers. They are ready to give up sleep, to sacrifice, to bind their souls with an oath, until the righteousness of Zion until her flame, until justice comes, until there's a manifestation. We await the willers. Are you among the willers? The willing women, such as will cry unto God, such as have found power with God. The willers. Oh, Saka de Galaba. And the Kabarabalabaska de Baba. We await the willers. For Zion's sake. We await the willers. Women mighty with God. Women that change the landscape of the spiritual topography. We await the willers. When we will see the willers again. Women of power. Women of status. Women of status. We are with the willers. The willers. The willers. We are with them. Ikabela manaskadia blanzalaba. Ikabala balabalabalabalabasanda. Embramalakada balabalabasanda. Women with a vow. The willers. 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 Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Catherine Kuhlman had a conclave of women. They were called the willers. They were nocturners. They were not on display. You know, nocturners are creatures that only show up in the night. You hear their voice in the gutter. But you never see them in the daytime. You only hear their utterances, but they are not visible. They're willers. They were the secret of her ministry. Behind the scene, they found out the reason why they have a womb is that they were creatures of groaning. Groans, mighty groans, power groans. The willers. They found the true purpose of femininity. Wailing. And they go wailing. And they go wailing. And they go wailing. The heavens are perforated. They glory of God came down so tangibly. Catherine Kuhlman was like a spirit. It was the power of the willers that made her strong. But today we have women that are vowless. Women that understand the names of the first four designers per week based on London fashion spree. Hallelujah. St. Michael's. What they call it? Dolce and Gabbana. Amen. What of that one? Dior. Oh, my liable. I'm not against Dior. If you can afford it, it's better than a barmaid. But the truth is, what debt are you carrying? Apart from the hairdo. Is there still an existence of you somewhere that we have not seen? Apart from the ability to talk from morning to night, is there a secret that you made with a spirit that you are watching over time, space, to see it come to pass? Lamwe's mother said, you are the child of my vow. Just in case you don't know, just in case you, this stubbornness, you don't understand that I put myself in trouble. I bound my soul. My life was marginalized. Just for you to rise. I took a vow.
Friends, we are with the willers. We are with the willers. Those women will fast and pray, dry fasting for 2 weeks, and they are just crying. If you come into their midst, there's no prayer point. Just in case you are waiting, say, okay, in 30 minutes' time, they will clap so that we'll stop. No, these ones, they operate in the realm of groaning perpetually. You know, when the articulation of your tongues are cancelled out and your spirit begins to communicate directly to God's spirit from the intensity of your body, that's what the Bible called deep calling unto deep. The very treasures of the depths of God are unveiled, uncovered, made accessible when such groaning takes place. Such was the fate of the wailers. And if these brass gates that stand before the church, if these brass gates that stand before this nation, if these brass gates that stand before most of our families will fall down, the wailers must come again. I decide that I will not be an empty man, a small man in a big body. There must be some depth to my days, some depth to my life, so a depth that I taught that guarantees that my son will not be a vagabond. People have traveled into the spirit realm and caught mighty covenants in heaven that are changed cities for 100 years. Is it Charles Wesley or John Wesley that after he died for 100 years in his city, they didn't sell wine, no alcohol? He bought airtime for 100 years. He was in control of the city for 100 years. He was a wailer. Those women discovered that the real use of the womb is not to give birth. It's a capacity to groan and push. And they transfigured it and realized the value of that potential spiritually. That was a flame that was burning in Katim Kuman's ministry. Since that time, we have never seen. Katim Kuman doesn't need a service for there to be healing and power. You know, Benny Hinn needs a service. But Katim Kuman doesn't need a service. She just shows up and you are gone. Muslims were slain. Hindus were slain. The front door of the hotel was closed. You had to go through the kitchen. Hindus came down. Muslims came down. And they remained down for about 30 minutes. The whole meeting was vibrating. People that brought ladies to the hotel for other motives, their ability to continue mission dried up. The power of the wailers, it affected the foundation of that city. Where are the wailers? There's no power. Everywhere is running. And you see, when you are not a wailer, the tongues and briars, you have personal issues. When will we grow up? The foundation of the hotel was shaking. Nobody could commit adultery inside. She was a blazing light. She was like one of the stars in the constellations. Like Orion. Like Pleiades. Pullman was one of them. She was burning with the fire of the wailers. Before you leave tonight, I would like you to say, Lord, I want to be deeper than what I look like naturally. And when you begin to tap into that realm, some of the things you call your problem now will be solved naturally. I show you a place of power in the spirit realm. But only women can access that place. You need a womb to be granted access. You need to be a wailer. You want to cry and say, God, let the grace of the wailers, the grace to change, the grace to have power with you, the grace to be able to change things in the realm of the spirit, let the grace of the wailers come upon me. Some of you, the troubles you are going through, God allowed it so that you could become a wailer. But you are there lamenting and crying, going from pillar to post, attending, going to every prayer house looking for a solution. But you have been marked as a wailer. There must be some more depth than what you are now. We cannot be powerless. We cannot be powerless. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. We are going to start our lectures from the next meeting. They are life applicable, practical, spiritual tips that we are going to be divulging, and you'll be giving some assignments to do during the space of 1 month before we meet for the next layer. We await the willers. And as those women grown the spiritual atmosphere behind many cities began to change. People saw Kurman in their dreams and visions. Jesus began to appear to people, evangelizing the willers. There were several ministers in the States, that prophetic ministers. Before they started their ministry, God had to send them to the fountain, that place where the willers used to pray, to go and fast and pray there for a while. Because the gate was already open. The reason why Kenneth Hagin's ministry went this far was because he started it, alright, in the place, one of the places where they willers. So that gate was open, so his voice went international. He didn't travel, it's only South Africa he came, but his books are, he's still alive. He was preaching behind the gate that was open. Now it's as if all the gates are sealed. The giants and the sons of Anak in the land cannot be brought down. It's obvious that the bow, shield, and spear have failed. And the devil is encroaching. Because the support system, the voice of the lioness has been quieted. I pray that you'll be challenged this evening. And you get back and trace your life to that time when you were strong with God, and you begin to rediscover yourself and restitute. And the things that you have taken away from the altar, you will give it back. Take an alignment from now till the next time we meet, which is 1 month from now. And then we'll be in the right state of heart to begin to peep into some prophetic things and the engineering of how the earth was constructed. And we take advantage of that understanding to see how you can influence things in the natural from the spiritual realm. But I need to say, it's not for babies. It will cost you a life of sacrifice. But the truth is this, you have power with God. You'll be able to change things in the natural realm. If you forget everything, don't forget that we are with the willers. Rise up, let's pray. Sister, come. We are with the willers. We are with the willers. We are with the willers. We are with them. We seek them. For long we're asking, why, God, you promised us a revival, and you release a little rain, you withdraw. He said the battle formation is not complete. That women will have to open the prayer shaft so that the great stars from heaven can fight with us. And I was wondering what it meant. I didn't know that it would take the prayers of women according to God's ordination to open the shaft for high cherubs of glory and angelic beings to begin to operate and to push this battle line so that we can reclaim the ground that the enemy has taken. He's not giving unto us to open the shaft. If not, we would have done it 12 years ago. He said, women, creatures with wombs, must learn how to wail again. The first time that was explored in full length was in the ministry of Catherine Kuhlman. Then we saw that the power of prayer that a woman can amass is far more than that of a man. Far more. Check it. Infant mortality is more for young boys, males, than females. There's a wiring that God has done. I hope you know, even in the family situation, men die first most of the time. Is it true? I'm not afraid of death, so don't say, pastor, we die. No, I'm not afraid of it. Men die first, and women become widows. And they'll train these children. The source of income is nowhere. Just faith and strength. I don't know where the strength comes from because they look fragile. But they make it. The fullness of that capacity will be realized when you become a willer. It was a vow that made that woman stay for 57 years. Her soul was bound by a vow. It was a vow that made her stay in the temple and pray. She mixed her prayers with fasting. The revelation, the calendar of God was put on display. And she knew the date of the majestic appearance of the Savior. The Bible took time in Luke chapter 2 to show us the machinery that were the manifestation or the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. Two nameless people. They were not known in society. But when it came to the redemption of the nation of Israel, they were the ones that had received the breaking news from heaven. Because there were men that were bound with an oath. And they had covenanted and marginalized their life, that they will have no sleep, no rest, and they will not live normally until redemption had come. Such were the ways of the Nazarites of old. They refused to live normal lives as a sign that their rest will never come. Their hair will never be shaven. They will never look normal until the promises of the Great One comes to pass. Great things are spoken of you. Great things are declared concerning you. I assure you, before we go a little, just a little, 3 months, 4 months, the things you call your problem, it would have, by 3 months, 4 months, I assure you, I see. These are things we have done. Alright? And 3 months. The day I saw that the dead could come back to life, it changed my perspective. I knew we could change so many things, but many things were happened because there was no way left. There's a strong hand of God upon you, strong power of God upon you. I'm going to lay my hands upon you and something will be activated in your life. You'll feel it in your body. We are with the willers. Paul said, if I, after the order of men, fought against the beast of Ephesus, spiritual, ferocious beings, and Paul fought them, he restrained them. The demons that have been employed to bring patterns into your family can be restrained. The beasts can be fought. But we need men of and women of sufficient stature to change and to turn the tide. Lord, let new things begin to break out of this life in the name of Jesus Christ.